Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to Center Stage. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Tonight, we are counting down. It's 3 days until the Electoral College vote is cast, and the mystery will be over. Will it be Trump or Hillary for our next president of the United States? We're talking about that tonight, y'all. Why I feel Trump will not be our next president, and where the bait and switch came in at. We're only going to be on for an hour tonight, so let's get right at it. I see Hillary's on the line tonight. Good evening, Hillary. How are you?
Well, hi, Carrie. I'm all right. How are you?
Good. Am I being heard?
Yeah, I can hear you. You're going to have to pardon my voice because I'm a little under the weather.
Okay, all good, all good. You know, there's a lot going on, but before we get into Hillary and Trump, you know, we see these trials coming up with these police officers and mistrials and people getting off and stuff. What are your thoughts on the situation with Michael Slager? You talked a lot about that over the course of the last 6 months or so, about Michael Slater getting out of jail, you know, before his time because they said overcrowding. What are your thoughts on them, you know, declaring that trial a mistrial?
I think the handwriting had been on the wall when he was released from detention, and it's just another rubber stamp on white supremacy being able to kill black people without any type of punishment. And then also the way that they paraded around that one black juror, you know, to kind of take the heat off of what really went down. And also, I don't know if you know, that juror had felony charges pending while he was serving on the jury, which magically disappeared. And I can't even imagine how you would even get on a jury with criminal charges pending.
You know, I saw that, and I was wondering, because they were pending and he wasn't yet convicted, that, okay, maybe that's how he got on the jury. But I was, you know, a little, you know, concerned when I found out that the charges were mysteriously dropped in the middle of the trial, you know, and the same person who has this hanging over his head is somehow made the jury foreman. That didn't make sense mm-hmm. to me at all.
Yeah, no, that was totally ridiculous. The last time I got called for a jury, the first question they asked was if you or anyone in your immediate family had ever been arrested or convicted. And that got rid of over half of the black people right there. So I can't imagine if you actually have an active case pending that you would qualify to be on a jury. That seems like something that would generally disqualify you or make you undesirable at the least.
You know, I was wondering last night if he was even, well, not last night, last week, if he was even a real person. But one of the guests on the show last week was Travis Schaefer, who lives in the Charleston area and has been to the church where this foreman is the preacher. And his mother, well, I think he's like some kind of youth preacher or something like that, but his mother is actually the pastor. So he's a real person, y'all. Go figure. But I just still find him suspect. I think he sold out to get those charges dropped, because I remember whatever the charge was the person with, it was something dealing with theft of like between $2,000 and $10,000. So that's a pretty serious charge. And it just seems like, you know, for it to mysteriously disappear and the prosecutor's not talking and he's not talking kind of indicates that maybe, you know, thing that, you know, wasn't supposed to happen in order for him to have that position.
Yeah, it was clearly a game. Like, look, you just get on here and do what you're supposed to do, and a little quid pro quo will, you know, forget about these charges. I didn't know he was a preacher somewhere. That doesn't surprise me. He seems like a little shady, shiesty preacher that's probably doing who knows what, you know, in
well,
that pulpit.
It was determined told us by Travis last week that he's actually been to the man's church and that the mother's the pastor there. And, you know, they're kind of rooted in the community. So maybe that was one of the reasons that they picked it. You know, go figure.
He's a shady preacher.
Well, yeah, you know, I guess if the shady preacher has stolen some money, yeah, probably so, and he has that hanging over his head. So, you know, a lot of times what I'm noticing recently, and when I say recently, I mean like this last 6 months, that social media and things like that, where we're putting so much information out about ourselves, that information can later be used against us. And so it may be a situation in which everybody in the community knew, you know, this guy and his situation, and maybe law enforcement saw that as an easy way to make black folks look like they okay with the situation. His name is Dorsey Montgomery. And Dorsey's
the only black person on there. That was also a red flag that they only had one black person on the on the jury. And then there's this joker. And then he has the nerve to go around talking about, you know, it wasn't malicious. He wasn't being malicious. Like, shut up. Just shut up.
Well, they paid him to say that, listen, when they dropped those charges. I mean, that young man was charged with breach of trust, fraudulent intent, meaning he was accused of stealing between $2,000 and $10,000, according to the Charleston County Court Clerk. So, listen, he didn't want to go to jail. So, I guess he said, Walter Scott.
Did he steal from the church?
He what?
Did he steal from the church?
Well, that's his mama's church, so probably not. Probably some other kind of breach of contract where he misrepresented himself in some way and took somebody's money. And, they filed charges against him. So, obviously, those people are just out of luck because he sold out and the rest is going to be forgiven. You know, what did you think of Walter Scott's mom's comments? Because y'all, we are talking about the Walter Scott case. For anybody that's not following, Michael Slager was the officer who shot and killed Walter Scott, shot him in the back. And another thing, Hillary, two things that I have a problem with, you know, is nobody talked about the gun that they planted on Walter Scott. Did you notice that nobody's talking about that? Nobody's talking about the gun.
Michael Slager got up there and lied. You know, he just got up and just totally lied. You know, and now it's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that he was on tape. It doesn't matter that he planted a gun. Like, so it's like, so what? They will make up lies and just say, okay. They don't care that it doesn't make any sense, that it's totally illogical. That's not even the point. The point is, they're just going to rubber stamp whatever these race soldiers say. And then they may do things like trot out some shady, even black person who's willing to, you know, do their dirty work and just say, look, it's okay, because none of the other jurors have been doing anything.
What did you think of Walter Scott's mom's comments? I said what I thought last week, and, you know, I still stand by that.
Yeah. I don't know what's wrong with the black people in Charleston, but, excuse me, she's out of order, too.
Yeah.
We cannot keep forgiving these people. You cannot excuse what they're doing. So I think her remarks were just all out of order.
You know, the way I said it last night, last week, and I'll say it this week, I am a Christian, and I completely understood everything she said. I just don't think it was the time to say it. I think it was the wrong platform to put that kind of information out there, and it just kind of just looked like, screaming Jesus, Jesus, Jesus in the middle of a crisis, as though, you know, just calling on his name or mentioning, you know, the goodness of Jesus or whatever is going to, take away what happened. I just didn't get it.
I think like that, when they say things like that, they're just being cowardly. That's all it is. And they're pushing it off like, oh, it's my religion that causes me to be so cowardly. But really, she's just a coward. Her remarks were inappropriate. And I don't care what her religion is. What she said was inappropriate and was not designed to seek justice for her son. And that's wrong.
I just think, you know, too, the fact that she was so, you know, religious and the jury foreman was preacher, I just think it's all like a big joke, and the joke's on us. I just don't believe, it's just not making sense to me, and it's not believable. Now, what I'm missing, I haven't figured out yet, but something about it is just too, Yeah, it's just too weird. Now, again, Travis said he's familiar with the Scott family. They are real people. You know, they are rooted, you know, heavily into that community. So, you know, we know that Walter Scott and, you know, this jury foreman are real people. So, in light of me calling it a false flag, I can say at least these people did exist. Now, what happened after that is a mystery to me because, you know, nobody's talking about the videotape. They do these cases now as though the videotape doesn't even exist. Like, what happened to what they saw? You know, I mean, are they allowing the judge to convince them that they didn't see what they thought they saw? I mean, really?
It doesn't matter what you saw. It doesn't matter. They can all, like, even the one that killed Eric Garner, Daniel Pantaleo, you saw him choke him for several minutes. And then they come and tell you that, it was because he was fat. That's why he died. And then they're just using, because I'm white and I say so. That's the only thing that matters. It doesn't have to be logical. It doesn't have to be true. It's just, I'm white and I say so.
And that's really pretty much, you know, I think what we're starting to see is that, you know, I mean, they're starting to really just, like, you know, look you in the eye and what you thought you saw, that videotape ain't what you thought you saw. Or, you know, they'll say something happened just before it or something happened after the video went off, so therefore still what you thought you saw wasn't what you thought you saw. I mean, it's ridiculous, you know, to question people's intelligence like they're doing, but it's happening every day. I mean, every time we see one of these trials come up and we're watching them, you know, let someone get off with murder, and then they're telling us that this man was in fear for his life. Hillary, how are you in fear for your life if somebody's running away from you with no gun?
He wasn't in fear of his life. The truth has absolutely nothing to do with how these cases shake out. He was not in fear, period. He just was not in fear. He's lying. But it's all untrue.
If I was in fear for my life, if he was running north, I'd be running south. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, why are you running toward him? You know, he's running away from you if you're fearful. I mean, so, again, it just makes it, you know, ridiculous when these juries come back and say, you know, well, let me see. It was crazy how they worded it. They were trying to say that the jury sent a note to the judge saying, in good conscience, he could not the one holdout basically said he could not in good conscience convict him, you know, and find him guilty. I mean, really? Like, they were trying to say that they couldn't find him guilty? I mean, really? Like, what did the video mean to you when you saw it, or what did it say to you when you saw it?
That juror was a suspected white supremacist who was on code. He wasn't going to convict him because in good conscience, he is not going to convict a race soldier for practicing white supremacy.
True.
So the race soldier is there and told lies because that's what he did. He's a liar and he told lies. It's no point to try to rationalize what he's saying. Like, why would you be scared if someone's running away from you? You wouldn't, and therefore he is lying.
You know, what they said, and I took notes on this from an article, it said basically the foreman also said he was going for murder initially. But after reviewing the evidence, like the tape, is he talking about the tape? Was the evidence? But he said after reviewing the evidence and reading the legal description for the charges, and the things that were presented by the judge, you know, that's what buzzwords kick out to me there, the judge, we had to come to find out that he didn't do anything malicious. Really? Really? Like,
yeah,
you're running behind somebody.
What he read was something from the prosecutor's office saying his charges were getting dropped. That's what he read. And they're all just passing the buck. The prosecutors pass it off to the jury. They pass it off to this, that, and the third. Like, they just keep passing the buck because they're all liars and they're all just there to execute white supremacy. And that little black juror, he helped them do that.
You know, I think one thing that... Say what?
He's a minion.
I agree. They said that Michael Flager basically demonstrated a brief disturbance in reason. Well, let's just say if I was chasing you with a gun and there was a videotape of it and I shot you 5 times in the back and fired 8 shots, they wouldn't call it a disturbance in reason. They would say cold-blooded murder.
Mm-hmm. And that's what it is.
See the difference?
Yeah. And that's what it is.
I mean, it's
for, excuse me, when it's for you, then yes, we use, you know, logic and reason and truth. But when it's race soldiers, you know, it's white and I'm white and I say so.
I'm going to give. I mean, because our judicial system, I mean, you know, it's not fair. I mean, they keep talking about Lady Justice is blind. I say Lady Justice is lying because, you know, she is, you know, blind to white people. She is blind to police officers. You know, there's so many double standards. So something ain't right. I mean, the system's got to crumble when it's this, you know, toxic. I mean, it's no fairness found in it. So I can
by blind, they mean blind eye, because that's what she is turning. There is no justice in the system of white supremacy.
That's a good, you know what, I should use that one. That's a good point. So, you know, it's a matter of time, y'all, before we all end up, like, coming to a point where we just, say we just don't have any faith in the system anymore. It's not designed to be fair to black people, you know, and so therefore it's got to go. And I can just see that day not far off, y'all. It's about to go down. So we're going to move on from Flager because we know his day going to come, you know, one way or another. Also, you know, in the same area, Dylan Roof, we talked about this again last week, y'all, but, you know, Dylan Roof, now they found him guilty. Were you surprised that they found him guilty of killing those 9 people at the church, the Mother Emanuel, I think it's called, in Charleston? Were you surprised that they found him guilty?
A little surprised, even though he's kind of like, you know, he fell on his sword. He's like a white sacrifice. He did admit to doing it, and he didn't really offer any reason or justification, so he's willing to take one for the team. But I'm still surprised with something, especially when his mother faked that heart attack or whatever she had. To, you know, just make it so that they could find any justification to get him off.
I wasn't sure what the collapse was either. I didn't believe it was really a heart attack either. But I think you know, if this was an MK, what is it called, MK Ultra, then something else is at play. And it's just hard for me to believe, and I said this a long time ago, y'all, and I still stand by this. If 9+ black people are in one building and they let one white boy come in there and kill them all and reload his gun several times without throwing a chair or hitting him with something, that just doesn't add up to me. I just don't believe it. I mean, it's not believable.
About the cowardly mother of Walter Scott. Now she went up there and saw all this Jesus talking about, you know, forgiving that fool, and even the victims of this criminal terrorist act were there at his arraignment, talking about they forgive him and all types of foolishness. So do you really believe that they were going to do something to that little white boy? No.
When he's got a gun pointed at you and you see him shooting people, you're just going to stand there? I mean, I don't know.
You see him shooting your son in the back 8 times and you still act cowardly. And he's not even posing any threat at that time and you still act cowardly. I believe that they would sit there and act cowardly in a church. So these church people in South Carolina are a bunch of cowards. They're not going to try to save themselves. In fact, all we keep seeing over and over is them willing to sacrifice themselves and sacrifice justice just so that they won't antagonize white people.
Wow. You know, they said that they were not seated in pews because I just assumed, you know, when they story first broke that they were maybe sitting inside the, you know, church or whatever, and they were in the pews, and, you know, Dylan came and sat down front or whatever. But I understand they were sitting around in tables, sitting around several tables and different chairs. So to me, that says at some point, reloading, somebody should have had an opportunity to pick up a chair and throw it at him, and somebody else should have, you know, sprung in motion, you know, to take him down. I don't get it.
They came to their church. They were giddy, and they would not do anything to harm him. They're just not going to. They're not conditioned to do anything like that.
I hope you're
also older people there as well. I mean, most of them were kind of elderly.
Well, the preacher was. And it was a couple of young people there.
But wasn't he like in his late 40s? I think it was mostly like some old women there, like in their 70s and 80s. So, and he shot at the minister.
Survival mode can give you super strength, is all I can say. And so I don't know. You
are your own survival, but these people are not, they are not heroes. They don't have that gene in them. That's why they went days later to the arraignment talking about what would Jesus do, you know, that kind of crap. They probably thought Jesus was going swinging to save them.
This man was in that building 52 minutes. And listen, that should have been at least 52 hits upside his head. I'm just sorry. This stuff is not adding up for me. Don't know what it is, and hopefully one day the truth will you know, come out, but I just don't believe that, you know, all those people, elderly or not, sat down and allowed themselves to be shot, you know, one by one, and then give him an opportunity to reload. Let's just say you froze before he started trying to reload another gun, but by the time you see him trying to reload, that at least gives you a couple of seconds to do something. But, you know, it is what it is, and may they rest in peace. Not blaming the victim, but I just say something went wrong with your discernment one and your survival skill two. Something just
something
ain't
is very
right.
Predictable. Their behavior was quite predictable. They weren't going to do anything. They are cowardly people, and maybe they thought Jesus was going to swing in and save them. They were probably so over the moon that a white kid was even in there within their midst that they would not. They are not. Conditioned to harm white people. They're not even conditioned to make them angry or upset at all. So they're not going to physically attack one.
That doesn't sound like any place I want to live. If they're thinking like that in that area of the country, I'm just saying something is very, very wrong. And, you know, it was just a lot of things about this story. You know, I mean, even the police officers were so unprofessional to go take him out for a burger. I mean, really? Yeah, like if that was a black
on, they're on his side because he was acting as a race soldier. So they gave him a little treat before they had to take him to jail. They probably didn't even want to take him to jail, but they just had to. And now he's just and, you know, life will go on.
You know, everything about this story is just sad to me, and it just speaks, you know, volumes of, you know, how welcoming we are of anybody. You know, we don't, like, you know, turn anybody away. And maybe sometimes we should, because if that had been a brother going into a white Bible study, at least they would have been paying attention. You know,
they'd have been on alert because they know. White people would have been on alert, like, because they are on code and they know. So they'd have been on alert, and they would have probably reacted if he started doing anything suspicious. Let alone if he did start shooting and had to reload, somebody probably would have done something because, one, they know there would not have been any repercussions. They'd have been hailed as heroes if they did something. And they don't warm fuzzies by black people showing them attention. Black people get warm fuzzies when white people show them attention.
Something's not right about the way he entered the church. I saw the video. And if I was going to a church for the very first time, especially seeing this didn't appear to be the front entrance, you know, how did he know where to go? And, you know, he just walked in there like he belonged there. I mean, just, you know, I'm just trying to figure out, like, did he do a dry run first? You know, how did he know? And so it just
watching them, or he had, because he had his other little coon friend said he had been chasing or had several locations he was considering.
Okay.
And he had done, you know, some little research and whatever about them, so it wasn't the very first time he had been there. And
well,
probably
you know,
he's just watching, like, okay, everyone's going in this door. That must be, you know, where they are. But he's white, so of course he's going to walk in somewhere like he belongs, because they think they own everything. That's their mindset.
Well, he sure did. Well, I'm not going to play the video or the audio tonight, but last week we played the audio of them saying that Dylan Roof initially had thought he was going to shoot some black drug dealers, but he was afraid they was going to shoot him back. See, that's the kind of attitude you need to have where folks be scared to challenge you because they know you're going to shoot back.
So if he thought that and then decided, oh, a church, they're not going to do anything, because he knows that black people are seduced by religion. That's why they start saying silly things like, Jesus will forgive, so I'm going to do it too. Like, they start saying stupid stuff like that because they are seduced by religion and are manipulated by religion. So he knows he can go in there and they're not going to do anything. Especially these old black people, they're going to be happy he's there. They're happy for the attention. And then they're not going to fight back if he does anything. They'll probably turn the other cheek. They've probably been conditioned to turn the other cheek. They certainly did go in there several days later to do just that.
I think this is a waste of a trial. I said this last week. You know, Roof, you know, said that he was willing to plead guilty, you know, if they didn't give him the death penalty. So, you know, he's charged with 33 counts, and he said, I'm going to plead guilty, y'all, if y'all just don't give me the death penalty. And yet they take him to a trial, only for them to come back and say it's going to be life anyway. I mean, it's just a waste of time. And this is just a federal trial, and he's got a state trial coming up next year.
He got sentenced already?
He was trying to get a plea deal. So he told them that he would plead guilty, and they didn't accept the plea. They took us, you know, through this whole rigmarole. Only to come back. They're just going to come back and give him life anyway. It's a joke. And so what a waste of the taxpayers' dollars down there. And you just wonder, even with the state trial coming up next year, he told them already, I'll plead guilty if y'all give me life in prison as opposed to the death penalty. And they haven't accepted either.
Well, that's fine. They do that sometimes when the crime is just that serious. If they want to go for death, then let them go for death. If he ends up with life anyway, then okay. I don't think that's money wasted.
You know what? The thing is, take him through two trials. I mean, really, you know, present all that evidence.
Do it every day for far less. So I don't think that's money wasted at all. Okay, if you just are that intent that you want the death penalty, then do it. He deserves it. If there is a cross that qualify for it, this is one. Now, if they don't happen to get it, so be it. But I don't think it's money wasted in the event that the jury sentences him to life.
I just think they're going to come back and say, you know, remember we saw something when they were already
probation. Like, it's just, like, the thing isn't over. They could come back really and be like probation. I wouldn't be surprised if you said that happened.
Sure, he'll pull, you know, whatever. You just never know. So that's why I'm thinking, why waste a trial, you know, if he's going to.
We're wasting the trial. No, this is not a wasteful situation. This is not a wasteful use of funds at all.
Why would we take funds?
And if it is wasteful, then fine. This is something that you should waste money on. If you consider it wasteful, I don't know why you would ever consider such a thing wasteful. He committed a terrorist act.
My point is, they're only going to come to the same conclusion anyway. First of all, you got to think about it. If he says, If he says I'm going to plead guilty, you know, I'll take a plea deal and I'll plead guilty if you give me life in prison, then how can they come back and give him probation and not look really foolish? So, you know, it would be a waste of a trial in the sense that if they come back and say, okay, it's going to be life in prison, well, wasn't that what he offered anyway? You know what I'm saying? So that's what I mean when I say a waste of a trial.
He is not the first defendant to say, I'll plead guilty if you give me life. And they're like, no, we're going to go ahead and try to get the death penalty against you. He is not the first. He will not be the last.
We shall see.
This is not some rare circumstance. This is a situation that happens every day in the criminal justice system across this country. So if they spend the money to have the penalty phase of their trial and they happen to not get the death penalty and he gets life, fine. Why would you be concerned? It's not directly coming out of your pocket.
Well, it's tax dollars now. You know, it's tax dollars.
That's money well spent. Even if they lost on the death penalty, it's tax money well spent. Why would we even consider? For one, it's not our money. And number two, so what if they're wasting their money? That's the money they should have been spending prosecuting Michael Slager seriously, which they didn't do. So what do I care if they're wasting, so technically wasting their money on this? Waste it then.
Well, technically they got two major trials going on, at the same time. I think that's just kind of crazy for the whole city down there and the taxpayers. I mean, they did all that for Slager, and what they do, they let him off. So I don't know. We shall see.
They were playing around with him anyway, and they had the trials because these people committed these crimes. It wasn't like, you know, they just decided to have trials or whatever. This is just what happens. They're always having trials. They're having trials all the time anyway.
I don't think everything is as it seems, Hillary. We shall see. We shall see. Listen, we're going to move on because we're going to get out of here in a couple minutes. Y'all, listen, we're only going to do an hour tonight because we got the big reveal. Monday, December 19th, that's the Electoral College vote. You know, it is my belief, y'all, that they're going to give it to Hillary and not to Trump. Now, Hillary, have you changed your mind on that yet? You still think they're going to give it to Trump?
I have not changed my mind.
Oh, okay, y'all, listen, I hope Hillary got a little change in her pocket tonight because I want to bet. Girl, listen, how much we going to put on that? Because I am so serious. I think they're going to do a bait and switch, and it's going to be Trump all the way. I mean, it's going to be Hillary all the way. You want to put some money on it? I'm pretty sure tonight.
It's not happening, Carrie. It's just not happening. It's like that whole birther thing. Oh, they were going to come out with all this birth certificate stuff so Obama wouldn't be president. They kept swearing up and down this whole birth certificate situation was going to make it so he couldn't be president. That never came to fruition. Like, it's just happening. Let's just deal with it.
Okay, you sound pretty confident. Let's put $50 on it. I say $50, Hillary gets the Electoral College to few over Trump. And you're saying Trump, you know, is going to win. You want to put $50 on it?
Already won. It's done. Why are we betting on something that already happened? It's like you want to bet on last year's Super Bowl. What you want is to bet on last year's Super Bowl. It already happened. It's done already.
That's a good way of putting it, but not quite. Okay, then we gonna see. Because it's just y'all, listen, if y'all reading the tea leaves like I look like I'm reading the tea leaves, it just looks like they ain't playing. They're coming up with Russia, you know, help Trump win. You know, they're coming up with all sorts of things, you know, asking for recounts. You know, I just see that, you know, it's a possibility. You know, there's a lawyer, let me find that information. It's a lawyer going around saying that he will pay for anybody who's a delegate for the Electoral College. You know, he'll you know, basically give them free legal advice. So that ought to tell you that they're trying to get folks to change their vote. And so I think that's very possible that it could go down. I mean, like, more than possible that it could go down. And so with that, going along with some of the other stuff that they're doing, I absolutely
the time and resources. It's done deal. It's done.
Ooh. Ooh. See, you must never say never. You must never use absolute. Because, listen, shit changes. I'm sorry. And so I think they played us. I really do. I think we got played. And we better wake up real quick and figure out what we're going to do because, they could have switched it. And the thing is, what is going to happen to the country, you know, is my thing. I think it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to do it. But the question is, what are we going to do when they do? I mean, you know, we know Trump's base is going to get in the street. So where does that leave us?
Well, let's get in the street then. I said, well, let him get in the street then.
See, listen, you better get some more bars on your doors and windows before you say that. I'm just saying because, you know, we got Representative Elijah Cummings. We talked about this last week. You know, I'm gonna play that tape for you, Hillary, because obviously you think I'm playing. He literally, you know, it's like saying like the house is on fire. You know, the house is on fire. Y'all need to pay attention. This is really really bad. My question is, what is he planning to do about it, you know, when he puts it like this? Listen to Representative Elijah Cummings out of Atlanta. That's your congressman out of Atlanta, talking about, you know, what he thinks Trump did. Elijah Cummings.
First, agree that there is overwhelming evidence that Russia interfered with the 2016 presidential election. Overwhelming. Not disputed, it's overwhelming. Our nation's 17 federal intelligence agencies say that they are confident that Russia directed these cyber attacks and that they were intended to interfere with the U.S. election process. Let that sink in.
He's actually from Maryland. He's not from Georgia.
Right. My thing is this. He sounds like he said, house on fire, house on fire. Hey, y'all, house on fire.
I've been calling your house on fire for years now, Carrie. Like, the house is on fire. Yes. But so what if Russia hacked their emails? They didn't force the emails.
No, they didn't force
them. What does that have to do with anything? People that did not vote for Hillary did not care about no emails. They voted for Trump so that they can have open white supremacy. And these Democrats are just sitting here trying to make up reasons why they lost. That aren't their fault. That's all they're doing.
Okay. Y'all, listen. Now, y'all pray for Hillary because she's going to catch it hard after she find out I'm right. And let me be clear. The vote is going to be the 19th. However, the reveal won't be until, January 6th or something like that, January 6th or 9th, which really makes no sense. You know, so you can already see some trickery going on right there. Why can't they count the vote the same way? Just like they do for president. So you can already see the okey-doke is going to come. And so if we've already declared Trump is the president-elect and the Electoral College delegates are voting in a majority for him, why do we have to take until January 6th or 9th in order to tell us the reveal? The okey-doke is coming. The okey-doke is coming. Anyway, we shall see, but it's going to be a sad day for this country, y'all, because I think if ever was a time when people may decide to overthrow the government, and I'm not telling anybody to do that, but if ever was a time that people may decide to overthrow the government, it will be after this presidential election, because it literally says you can't trust the government. They lie. And so I think absolutely this is the worst thing that could possibly happen for that reason, that people may just decide enough's enough. They already got the arms, you know, the military weapons and all of that stuff going, and they're ready to for a fight. I believe that. I believe it's going to happen. Civil war. In this country. Can you see that? Hillary, don't say that, child. But I see that. I do. I said, you don't see that, but I see that. Can you see, like, we could punch? You don't see that?
That what?
You don't see that, you know, this could possibly force a civil war in this country?
It should. I hope it does.
Ooh.
I told you this, like, the last over a year, that this is happening. Is that's what's going to happen. That is the logical result of all that is happening.
Wow. What I was speaking of was there's a Harvard law professor and progressive activist named Larry Lessig. He has announced that he is teaming up with a California-based law firm to offer free and confidential legal services to any members of the Electoral College who will vote against President-elect Donald Trump in violation of their state laws. So, hand-in-hand, he said, listen, y'all, call me. He said, call me, I got your back. You know, so...
That's interfering with the election.
I would think.
So,
why is it
different?
He's not going to jail for it. And I think, like, we've never seen anything like that before. I mean, like, why would they call you and tell you their vote? I mean, even though you are an attorney, I would think that that's supposed to be private. I don't know what the rules are, but I would think that would be breaking something.
Yeah, an attorney is not allowed to encourage criminal behavior.
I guess he worded it just right. He said that he was going to provide free, buzzword, and confidential, not a buzzword, legal services to any member of the Electoral College who will vote against President-elect Donald Trump in violation of the state law. So I guess he's saying he's not telling you to vote against him, but if you're thinking about voting against him or like changing your vote, I guess, then he's got your back and is going to provide you free legal service. I guess that's what he's saying. Go figure. Oh, it's going down, y'all. It's going down.
Thank you. Not all the same outcome as that whole birther thing. So it's going to have that same outcome, which
well,
is nothing.
Y'all.
About nothing.
Listen, y'all. Tick, tick, boom. Tick, tick, boom. I mean, it's just that simple. You know what? I think they have created the perfect storm. It's not, you know, something that just happened. They created this. It's man-made, man-manipulated. They wanted Hillary, even though they pretended to us that they wanted Trump, but they really wanted Hillary. And they know that in doing this bait and switch, it's going to bring all the crazies out. Seriously, I've seen some of these crazies on some of these videos online. Listen, if they all decide to come out at one time, it can get pretty crazy out there, seriously, real quick, you know, because every black person ain't going to allow you to call them the N-word. Just know that. And so it could be a lot of racial tension, I'll say that. And that won't be pretty, Hillary. It just ain't going to be pretty.
No, it's going to be very messy. Like, you know, he's going to ruin everything, and let him ruin everything. Don't try to stop him. Let him ruin everything.
Now with that, you know what? This is the way I feel. I feel however it plays out, I'm a big girl, and I can handle it. I'm not going to cry in my Cheerios if they give it to Hillary. I'm not going to try and cry in my Cheerios if they give it to Trump. It's all staged. It's like reality TV. They picked the right actor. He was like, you know, the perfect person for the game. He's a reality TV show playing a reality role, a reality TV role. They picked him to play a president-elect, you know, in the biggest Hollywood production of all time. And we fell for it. That's simple. That's how I look at it. That's simple. We got juice, and we got to man up, girl up, and just deal with it, you know, and whatever happens. And let me give y'all some clues before we get out of here tonight. Let me give y'all some clues if it's not going to go down since Hillary don't believe me. First of all, last week, what's her name? How do you pronounce it? Last name? Is it Melanie or Mel? How do you pronounce it? Melanie?
Melanie.
Whatever.
Melania. Okay, well, okay, her. Let's see. The girl is from a little, small, tiny place. A long, long ways from here. Okay, that said, she is saying she don't want to live in the White House? Where do they do that at? I mean, seriously, Hillary, where do they do that at? Where does somebody who barely got over here on a wing and a prayer outstayed their visa, you know, and then some kind of way marries the right man who somehow is going to lead her to be the first lady of the White House, oh, the first lady of the country, and she declines, you know, her White House, like, Jay. I mean, she said, I don't want to live there. I'm just going to stay in New York. Really? That doesn't even make sense. And people need to wake up.
I'm not the dude that whispers why she's, but I don't even care why she doesn't want to live there. The woman's a dingbat, like, so I don't care where she lives.
So you always tell y'all another thing. I came up with this on my own, y'all. Listen, why would Donald, me and two, say he don't want to live in the White House? Now, it's only three reasons, y'all, this could be. Either Donald Trump doesn't want to live in the White House after a black family lived in it.
No. What's the scam going on? He is milking money because he's charging the Secret Service $2 million a year or something to protect him. He's charging them to protect him while he's at Trump's towers. And he is also using their presence as a listed amenity to his potential tenants. So he's obviously going to jack up the rent on the potential tenants or his existing tenants. So he's about to make a bunch of money by doing nothing, which is what he does.
Kill it now, y'all. You know you're wrong. No.
That's what he said.
No.
He did that. He was in the paper. And he already said they reported that he was gonna that they had to pay $2 million rent for the space they had to occupy at Trump Tower. So obviously he benefits from that. And he had already listed it as an amenity, as like a listed amenity. Like we got a gym and Secret Service, like whatever amenities they have there. Now, if you live in a place that has Secret Service presence, you can imagine what the rent is going to be.
That's crazy. I mean, I just don't think that part of it is a business deal. I just think, back to my list, y'all, I disagree with Hillary. I think it's three
I'm
reasons.
I'm not making
this
up. It was actually reported. I'm not like reading tea leaves. This actually happened.
How about Google that? I didn't hear that. I did not hear that. I think these are the reasons. I think because see he can still have Trump Towers there. I mean he can still have Secret Service there protecting his family and still get the same benefit. You know what I'm saying? But he's not coming.
Yeah, charging them. He is charging the government $2 million to protect him. Now usually when you have protection, if anything, you are paying them to protect you. But they're paying him to protect him. That's how he has it set up. He's a little G businessman. He knows how to make money. And on top of the fact that because obviously the taxpayers pay for the Secret Service. No, the president obviously does not have to pay them for that. So it wasn't like he was going to have to come out of pocket anyway, but he has found a way to monetize it. On two fronts.
But see, the Secret Service was going to have to be there anyway because his family was going to stay there, the wife and the child. So I can still see how.
Even if they don't stay because that is where he is or that's his residence. So they were going to have to be there anyway, but now he's charging them to be there.
Okay. Well, let me tell y'all my list then.
He's making more money. He's also making more money off his existing and potential tenants because they are there and he is billing it as an amenity.
Okay.
So he's monetized. He already monetized his presidency before even getting in there.
Right.
Because that's what he does.
He's smart. But see, my list is a little shorter than that. My list is that know, either he doesn't want to live in a house after black people have lived there, okay? Two.
That could be it.
Let me finish my list. Two. Maybe the White House is a disgrace.
See what?
Maybe the White House is a downgrade from, you know, Trump Tower. Or the third and most obvious reason is because he's not coming in the first place. So it was all smoke and mirrors, and so they told you he was going to win when, in fact, he knows he's not going to win. So he's telling us now that he's not going to move to the White House because he knows people should be expecting him to be, you know, boxing up things and getting ready to move in. But he knows he's not going to do that, so he's not going to go through the trouble of bringing in 100,000 boxes and acting like he and his family are getting ready to move to the White House. And so, again, y'all, time with me. We got just a couple weeks, you know, maybe
less than
there.
He probably, like, feels like he wants to live where he wants to live at. Anyway, he's not doing things like how other people do it. And if he actually moved to D.C., he probably want to stay in his own properties in D.C. because he just built all this property at the old post office building. And he probably would prefer to stay there so, again, he could charge them money.
And it may be four. What you say
he's
right
to be president, and he will milk it for all he can.
Y'all is going to be the okey-doke, the biggest okey-doke in history. I mean, this is like literally seeing a plane crash into a building and then realizing it was a trick. What do you call that? When you can use the imagery and it's really not hitting the building. But anyway, that's another show, y'all. So that said, get ready to be surprised, be shocked, and have your lives turned upside down because that's what's coming. So, listen, y'all, we're going to be back Monday night talking about whatever happened in this particular election because I just believe they're going to do the bait and switch. And when they do it, all hell's about to break loose, and I say get ready. No, not get ready. What do we say, Hillary? We say get ready, and we're going to say what?
I said stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Stay ready so you don't have to get ready. Yeah, that's what we own over here now. We ain't getting ready no more. We own stay ready because we know something big is about to go down. So, listen, join us back here Monday night, 8 p.m., when they have the official Electoral College vote. I'm sure something's going to shake loose. It's going to give us an indicator of what's about to go down. And by the way, one last thing. What about Kanye West going to see Trump? What was that about?
Oh, yeah, it was Negro Day up in Tower, and he met with some Negroes for just photo ops or whatever. That's all
that's
it was.
Crazy. That's Kanye.
Huh? He met with Kanye, Ray Lewis, and Jim Brown. Just some Negro Day photo ops, so that's all that was.
Listen, I almost had a joke for that, but I ain't going to go there, y'all. But I just say to Kanye, go get well. Just stay out of Trump Towers, please, if anything, something to set you off. So don't even be caught in that. You know, PNK, listen, we finna go. We only on an hour today. See, PNK gonna light up now. We finna go. PNK, we
no,
finna get out of here.
I'm fine. Yeah, we've already done fine.
Yeah, PNK, we gone, okay? You hear me?
What are you guys leaving so early for? You got bad weather or what?
Let him on the show.
All right.
We have bad weather.
Voice is shot.
We have bad weather here.
We'll see you Monday night.
Okay.
No, you know, PNK, we should get out of here. And why, you know, you are officially on colored people time.
No, but we have ice on the streets here. I got out, had to creep. You know, when you go through these colored folks' neighborhood, they don't put no salt down. They don't know what it is, so.
We ain't going to go there tonight. But I will take your comment simply because I want somebody to bet with. Hillary wouldn't bet with me, but I know you got big money, so let's go big or go home. I'm going to bet that Trump is not going to be our president, that they're about to bait and switch us, and they're going to give it to Hillary. Will you take the bet with me tonight?
No. That's the case. You're going to have a whole lot of stuff going down.
But if you're so confident that he is, why wouldn't you bet?
One reason, you don't have the money to pay. And by the time I get to wherever you are, what I went from you won't be worth the ride back. So.
My money's so short. Oh, it's going down like that. Okay, I'm broke Harry. No, listen,
all right.
Broke Harry tonight. Listen, because you know what? I know I won't ever have to pay up. We'll be on your money. So since you.
But you know
money,
what, Carrie? And I'm going to let you guys go on. You are witnessing some of the worst news reporting that I have ever witnessed in my life. This thing about stealing the elections, this everything they say is probably, may have, could have. There's nothing definite in the way they are. Way they are propagating it throughout the airways, if people don't pay attention to what they're saying, they're going to fall victim to some fake news.
Okay. Well, let me pick your brain there. So you're saying that the news media is really giving us satire news, but this is supposed to be the real news, so it's hard to tell now the real news from the fake news. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the news is lousy. Let me ask you something. When you went and voted, you voted at a machine, electronic, touch screen, however. Okay, was that machine hooked up to the internet? Heck no. When you cast your vote and submitted it, somebody came behind you, put that cartridge in there, and that cartridge recorded what you just done. And she done it, or they done it on everyone that came through. Those machines wasn't connected to the internet.
Okay, so did somebody say, I didn't hear that story. Did somebody say it was?
Well, they're saying that Russia tampered with the news. They're talking about electronic warfare, so how else would you tamper with the vote outcome, not the news, but the vote outcome, unless they was connected to the internet? And here's another point. You remember back during the days when they was going to these electronic machines, and all the nations was up in arms. Say, why are you going to this? What we have now is, okay, hand count each ballot. Oh, no. We have to be into this modernity. Well, now look at you.
But see, but you know what? Now that speaks to something I brought up earlier. If everything is so modernized and we're not counting the ballots by hand anymore, why is it going to take us from the 19th of December all the way to the 6th or the 9th of January in order to find out who is the president? That doesn't make any sense.
What do you mean? Would they recount the ballots all over again? Is that what you're saying?
No, meaning the Electoral College vote is Monday night, but we won't hear the results until it's either January 6th or January 9th. Why? Why are we waiting with all this modern technology?
I don't know.
Okay.
Both sides are lousy. They're deceptive. It's one. The only hope that American citizen has nowadays is the fact that they still got their guns. Keep your guns oil and keep your powder dry.
No, they're lucky they got Jesus. But anyway, we ain't gonna go there with you tonight. So wait a minute.
I'm getting ready to drink me a good old bottle of Ghanaian palm wine. So maybe I sleep from now on.
Have one for you. Thank you for calling.
Okay, Carrie, keep up the good work. Bye, y'all.
Thanks. Listen, y'all, I'm going to get out of here. We're just in a short show tonight because we want to, gear up for Monday night when they do the Electoral College and whatever's going to come with that. So, tune back in tomorrow. I'm gonna get this right. Tune back in Monday night, because y'all, I'm trying to put this in my head because we don't typically come on Monday nights. Come back Monday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Central when we're going to be talking about what happened with the Electoral College vote. Okay, y'all, Listen, and by the way, we do this each and every Friday night, typically from 8 to 10 p.m. Central, 9 to 11 Eastern. Join us right here. If you have an idea for a show, drop us a line at centerstageradio@yahoo.com. That's centerstageradio@yahoo.com. And if it's in line with what we do here, we'll definitely consider it. Okay, y'all, until Monday night, the 19th at 8 p.m., I'll see you then. Bye-bye.